It's one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you see the guys' names, you're getting close. So turn over there. And in John 15, it's just, again, four pictures that are woven through about eight verses. And I'm going to read them real quick, and then we're going to talk about them. Look at these four different pictures. We'll start in verse 1. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Four pictures. There's a vine. There are branches. There's a gardener or a vine dresser. And there's fruit. And so let's just dive in real quickly on this. And we'll start with the first picture, the vine. The vine is Jesus. He says right up front, I am the vine. And when Jesus makes that statement, it's one of these audacious statements that Jesus says. Woven all the way through the book of John, seven different times he says, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And I am the true vine is the last one. And when Jesus says this, he says, I am the vine. One of the things he's telling us is that he is the source of life. The vine is the root. It's what's tied into the earth. It's where the life for the whole vineyard comes from, the vine comes from. And Jesus is saying, I am the source of life. If you want to experience life, you're going to find it in me. Second, he says he's the true vine. He says there's all kinds of vines out here, all kinds of false vines, all kinds of things we might try to connect into. But he says he's the only one that is going to give us life. Says that he's exactly what life should be, the fulfillment of what a real vine would look like. And he gives abundant life, an overflowing life. And he tells us when he uses his vine picture, he says a relationship with him is like a living relationship. The vine is alive and the sap flows through it and the fruit is born. He says it's a living relationship. And so Jesus is making this bold claim that he is the source of life, that he is the source of the abundant life, he is the source of all life, and that if we're going to have a loving, an ongoing relationship, a real life, it's going to be tied to him. And so he says it's a living relationship, a loving relationship, a lasting relationship. So it starts that Jesus is the vine. And secondly, the branch, as we talk about that, the branch is you and me. The branch is me. The branch is you. We're the branches, and as I talk about we're the branches, let me clarify this just for a second. A branch is someone who is connected to Jesus. Okay? A branch is someone who is in Christ or connected to Christ. And so Jesus in this moment is speaking to Christians, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, that a branch is someone who is committed to following Christ and knowing Christ and walking with Christ. And so Jesus is not really given a formula for the whole world. He's given a formula for those who know him. And what he's telling us is that if you want to have real life, it only happens in connection to him. And so as we dive into talking about what the branch and the fruit and all this looks like, if you've never connected yourself to Jesus, if you've never trusted him as Savior, do that this morning. Let this be the day that you say, yeah, Jesus, I really need you. I can't do this by myself. And when Jesus talks about this, and he talks about this branch, what he's saying is that a branch by itself is weak. A disconnected branch is just a stick. There's no life in it. You know, yesterday I did what many of you have done. I went out in the backyard for the first time in forever, right? Picked up all the limbs that had fallen, all these dead sticks that had fallen out of the tree, gathered them all up, and they were just brittle, and there was no life in them. What Jesus is saying is that for a branch to have life, it has to be connected. Once it disconnects from the tree, from the vine, it's no longer a branch. It just dies and rots in itself. And so the job of the branch is not necessarily to produce fruit. The job of the branch is to stay connected to Jesus. And that's why over and over and over in this passage, he says, remain, remain, connect, connect. And then he tells us if we do, man, it just is transformative in our lives. He says, if you stay connected to him, his life flows through you. It begins to flow, and it leads to a fruitful life where you begin to bear fruit, and it begins to be changing in you and in others. He says if you stay connected to him, there is a joy that fills you up, that it's his joy that begins to flow into you. He says if you remain in his love, if you stay connected to his love, then he begins to really literally reproduce his life in you, and you become like Jesus. This is what peace keeps talking about with her women, isn't it? They come in and she begins to explain to them who Jesus is and how to meet Jesus and how to walk with Jesus, so that when they walk out, they are radically transformed because they know Jesus and he is flowing through them. The branch, the only job of the branch is to stay connected to the vine. Our main job as a Christian is to stay connected to Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to be as close to him as possible. You know, it's real interesting. In the scriptures, prepositions are critical. I know most of us hated grammar and all that stuff, but prepositions are critical. And it uses with and for and through. But here the verse, the whole big preposition you got to understand is in. That you are in Christ. That once you trust Christ as Savior, you are connected to him. And his blood flows through you. And the dilemma for us is that we find most of our hope in all kinds of other places. So our hope is in my job. My joy is in my success. But all of those things are rickety at best. It makes it precarious how we live our lives. But what he's saying here is that when you are in Christ and connected to him, you are secure. Take a look at the quote from Mark Buchanan at the top of your outline. He says, life in Christ is the only life that bears fruit, or at least fruit that lasts, and that you want to last. The only fruit that glorifies God stems from abiding in Christ, and he is in us. It is a life of faith and faithfulness. It is a life of utter dependency and yet strangely daring initiative. That we live dependent on Christ, connected to him. Through the years, Christians have found all kinds of ways to say connected to Jesus. Many of us read our Bible on a daily basis. Many of us will kind of open up the scriptures somewhere, read a chapter or two, or read a paragraph or two, do some reflection, do some thinking, maybe write some notes about it. But most Christians who stay connected to Jesus do it by staying connected to his word, so his word bears fruit in us. Another way that Christians stay connected to Jesus is through prayer, that we'll just spend some time talking to him, listening to him, making time to slow down and begin to talk to him. And then stopping to listen to him as well, so that we have a sense of being guided through life by him. Other ways is, you know, sometimes Christians have found it helpful to connect to other Christians because the Spirit of God in them begins to work into their lives and there's a mutual encouragement that goes on. Men and women, we're just a branch. And our job, our only real job, is to stay connected to Jesus and then let him steer us from there. So the first picture is a picture of a vine, that's Jesus. The second picture is a picture of a branch, that's me and you. The third picture is the picture of the gardener. I love this. And the gardener is God the Father. God the Father is the vine dresser. God is in, God the Father, the gardener, is in charge of caring for the vines. It is our Heavenly Father who is caring for us to make us fruitful. And it talks about, in one verse, it talks about sometimes there's no fruit. Another verse, there's much fruit. But it's the Father that's this vine dresser, gardener, that is completely consumed with taking care of the vine and the branches. And as He takes care of you as a branch, there's really two activities I want you to notice in verse 2. Take a look at verse 2. In verse 2 it says, and this is a little unfortunate, I'll talk about it, but in verse 2 it says, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. You know, a lot of your Bibles may have a note somewhere in the margin, a footnote about this verse. The word cuts off is a word that has multiple meanings. And John loves to use words that have two different meanings, so we have to kind of sort our way through which one the context tells us. It's one of those words like our word trunk, you know, where it means multiple things based on what you're talking about. But this word cuts off, an awful lot of the time when it's used to lift up. And sometimes it's used to cut off. I think as the translators were looking at this and they see that Jesus is talking about pruning, they just assume that this other word must also mean to prune as well, to cut off. But I really think what Jesus is saying here is that first idea of lifting up. I mean, take a look at the pictures up here of this grapevine. Notice how the grapes are all suspended. Okay, in the ancient Near East. Now, this is a modern vineyard, and we've got wires running across here to support the vines. We've got structures that are in place so that the grapes are elevated. In the ancient Near East, the weight of the vine would really cause the grapes to sag. And once the grapes get on the ground, they're not like a watermelon. They're not like a pumpkin. They rot when they touch the ground. And so it's critical for the vine dresser to lift up and make sure the branches are high enough so that the fruit does not touch the ground. I think what Jesus is driving at is that our Father, who loves us dearly, this incredibly skilled gardener, is lifting you up. In the ancient Near East, they would put rocks or branches. They would build some kind of structure under it. We use wires for the branches to run along. But if the fruit touches the ground, it rots. And so what you see here is the gardener who loves you dearly lifts you up. He supports you so that you can be most fruitful. So the first work He does is to really carry you along, to lift you up from the burdens that you carry. Second thing He talked about is pruning. It is cutting away that which is of no value. And the idea here is that He would purge us of anything that limits growth or fruitfulness. For the grapevine, it means removing the insects and the moss and the other little destructive forces, the sucker branches. When it gets too many leaves, you've got to thin it out so it increases the fruitfulness. So our Father is this skilled pruner. Back in the ancient Near East, when you had a grapevine and a vineyard that you had to apprentice for 3 years before you were ever allowed to cut a branch. It was so critical that you not cut the wrong thing, because if you cut the wrong place in the wrong way, you damage all the fruit. You destroy the fruitfulness of the vine. And so they had to apprentice for 3 years before they could even begin to do small snips to increase it. And so our Heavenly Father is this skilled pruner who removes the things in our lives that limit our growth. It's not that He's always taking away bad things. Sometimes He is, but sometimes He's taking away good things. Because you know, if you've got any vegetation, if you're growing any vegetables, that it becomes so thick with leaves that it chokes out the value, and the sap doesn't have enough to feed all of the fruit. So you sometimes have to prune away good things in order to have the maximum of fruit. Sometimes He cuts away things that are stealing our spiritual vitality. And so our Father, who loves us, lifts us up, and He comes along and He prunes away the pieces that need to be pruned away. And make no mistake, pruning hurts. Pruning is always painful. But he doesn't do it to hurt. He does it because he loves us. You know, one of the things you've got to understand is that the vine dresser, our Heavenly Father, is incredibly skilled. He knows exactly what he's doing. It is with care and with wisdom and tenderness that he moves. That he enjoys his work. God loves to create. He loves you so much that he is at work in your life and all of the place that he works. You know, it reminds me of the first 7 days of, or six days of creation when God creates and he makes a day. And at the end of the day, he kind of kicks back and he goes, "This is great. It's very good. It's very, very good." When God creates fruit in your life, when he prunes you so that you are increasingly fruitful, I really believe he leans back and looks at you and goes, "I love that. I love you becoming the you I designed you to be." God's creating new vineyards, new vintages at all points in time. He's working in ways to transform us all along the way. And so God has you in a unique soil, on a unique journey, because he's creating a unique fruit in you. You know, I got to go out to Napa Valley with my buddy Travis a few years ago. Travis is a self-proclaimed wine snob. And he just tells you, and so I went with him, and we went to all of the various vineyards, and we went here and tasted this and tasted that. And what I didn't know, cause to me it's just Napa Valley, it's just a valley. What I did not know is that every valley, within the valley, there are lots of little bitty valleys. And the reason there are so many different vineyards and winemakers is that in each little segment, in each little cubbyhole, is a microclimate. The soil is unique. The temperatures are unique. And because of that, it creates a unique grape at each and every winery. And it takes a skilled gardener to know how to maximize that fruit. It takes a skilled winemaker to know what to do with that fruit. And so what God has done is he's planted you in a unique soil. Every one of us are in a unique soil. Every one of us are in a unique microclimate. And as a result, God is creating within you a unique fruit that he's not creating in anybody else. And that fruit is going to create a wine that is a unique wine. And it's part of your story. And your job is not necessarily to bear the fruit. It is simply to stay connected to Jesus so he can work. And that really leads to this last fourth image. And that is this. It's that the fruit is the result of our connection to Jesus. We've said it all along the way. If you just can kind of glance back at verses 1 through 8, just let your eye skim over it. Look at how many times the word fruit shows up. It's 10, 11 times in a handful of verses. And what he's saying is that the fruit is the natural outflow of our relationship with Jesus. It is natural. It is normative. It's just the way it works. If we are connected to Jesus, there will be fruit that comes out from that. Connecting with him produces good work. It produces fruit. And it's not something that you have to do. So many of us, so many of you Christ followers, are all spun up. You're fretting all the time. I've got to do this for Jesus. I've got to do that for Jesus. I've got to change the world for Jesus. I've got to become holier. I've got to become more patient. I've got to become more loving. I've got to somehow make this happen. When all he's really saying is, you stay connected to me, that stuff happens naturally. How many of you guys have got, you know, you got satsuma trees, you got tomato plants, you got rose plants? You ever go out in the yard around your satsuma tree or whatever and listen? And you ever hear a satsuma going, "Nyah!" It never does. It doesn't strain to create a satsuma. Your rose bushes don't have to strain to create a rose. It needs a healthy ground. It needs to be connected to the vine. It needs a loving gardener.
and the fruit comes naturally. What Jesus is saying is your job, the fruit of the Spirit you want to produce, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, the desire to be more like Jesus, that flows naturally if you stay connected to Him. And so often we think, man, I've got this person in my life, I've got to figure out how to love them. Oh, I've got to just work hard to love them. When really what you got to do is step back and make sure you're well connected to Jesus. You've trusted Him as Savior. You're connected to Him on a daily basis. You're spending some time in His Word. You're allowing Him to speak to you. You're obeying Him as you go along. And that fruit will be produced. The fruit's not for you. The fruit that comes along is not for you. No tree eats its own fruit. The fruit is to feed those who are around you. So as you stay connected to Jesus, absolutely, it changes you and makes you more healthy. But as He transforms your character, I love what Peace talked about a minute ago, that these women who come through her, through this healing care ministry are so changed, then they go back to their villages and it begins to change their village because they've gotten connected to Jesus. When you are connected to Jesus, you experience the fruit of the Spirit and you love all of that. But it begins to impact everybody in your world and it begins to feed them. Your job as a Christ follower is simply to connect to the vine, to remain in Christ and allow His character to flow in you and through you. Let's pray, you guys.